Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were fed by the flash of a neon light, it split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Who said I do not know? Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed the will of silence. The people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. The tenement halls whispered.
Okay, Simon and Garfunkel, thank you. And welcome to a brand new episode of Supernatural Radio. And we have the amazing, the notorious William Stillings tonight as a guest. And I think William's going to tell you a little bit about himself, first of all. Hey, William.
Hi. Corrine, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Good. Okay. You know, William, we talked this afternoon briefly, and you were doing your own show, happened to mention how the radiation from Fukushima really caused you a couple years ago to go and buy bags of rice, and that's what you've been subsisting on ever since. Now, tell us a little bit about that.
It was actually a little bit before that. I wrote about up-and-coming disasters One of them was Fukushima. I wrote about in the reactors blowing up. I wrote about that in 2007, 4 years before it happened, and even titled it Japan Earthquake 2011. And I tried to warn friends and family and stuff to take a little bit of precautionary steps of buying a couple large sacks of rice, coconut oil, some food and stuff that could be stored before 2011. And they kept asking me why, and I told them just because I've been checking some things out. And basically my life stems from working in with the United States government, with DOD, Navy, NSA, OSS, brought into CIA, OSS became CIA. And so basically my life has consisted with teleporting on and off planet, a little bit of time travel, all sorts of things.
Yeah, but, you've got quite the background. Let's just try to focus on this for now. I'm sure I'm going to want to have you as a guest on your time on Mars with the president, but let's just talk about, before I got on tonight, I just read this. This was on news.com.au, which is an Australian news channel. A magnitude 5.1 earthquake has been registered near the damaged Fukushima nuclear facility. This happened 2 hours ago. The epicenter was initially reported as being 102 kilometers east-northeast of the tsunami-wracked nuclear power station, currently undergoing delicate uranium fuel rod extraction procedures. Now, did you know about this?
Oh, yeah. That actually collapsed about 3 weeks ago. Last week was about the worst. Reactor 4, that has already gone to the worst case. The planet died off or is really in a bad, dire straits as 3 weeks ago. So people are getting late news, and they're getting it very late. This is actually quicker historically. Japan is actually heroic for trying to be honest. The news media is criminal and negligent and deliberate and endangering the general public's health. And this is one of the reasons that because we were doing this and setting up things to where people at least could get a warning, but we had to do our job, that we had to, I had to tell people that Fukushima is beyond a mess. It is beyond a mess. It is get off the planet mess. And I don't know how other way to sugarcoat it. That's just bottom line. It is bad.
William, today in the Diplomat, on the diplomat.com, they said the recent rash of headlines about radioactive leaks, exposed workers, and contaminated fish paints a bleak picture. But to be fair, all is not bad. The situation is less dire than many headlines suggest, and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's declaration in September to the International Olympic Committee that things are under control is a legitimate claim. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, you imagine in light of the Fukushima disaster that they, a year and a half later, appoint the Olympics to be held in Japan. There won't be the 2016 Olympics will be the last Olympics. It was actually supposed to be the last Olympics we had. 2012 was the last. And there won't be an Olympics because there won't be anyone around. Things will clean up a little bit, and things will be kept kind of up to par as far as looks and stuff. But, outside of a bunch of round vehicles, collectively, being on the radiation, it's bad, you know, and by all means, people have to clean up their own mess, really. And it's not fair for what the Greys go through that the government knows, and we've been trying to present the outsider, people from off world visiting. In fact, have been doing so for quite a long time. You'd be surprised how many people are from Mars and how many people are not. Just to get it out of the way, because it's bothering me. The President of the United States, by his own claim, did not go to Mars. Satoru, or Barack H. Obama, did not go to Mars by his own admission. But there was somebody who very much kind of looked like him. And I'll leave it at that. I just want to leave it at that. This way I could just focus on the immediate. To give people an idea how bad Fukushima is, and that's the real show, is Reactor 3 had a detonation shockwave. It's basically that a nuclear device detonated inside the reactor container, which is the worst-case scenario. Janet Napolitano's ego couldn't stand up to that, period. And it is, you know, in the United States, the NRC basically, or the United States has basically solved the problem in nuclear reactors of having to deal with a nuclear detonation shock or a detonation shockwave by ignoring the aspects of a detonation shockwave. So they completely, you know, it's just put aside, if it happens, it happens, solution solved.
Okay, I apologize for interrupting. However, so you told me this afternoon, you said, I wouldn't eat anything for the next year. Now, so you've been eating rice, only rice.
Basically.
Okay. What are we supposed to do? So say I'm eating, well, I have been eating kind of normally, even though, you know, some stuff's organic. What is a person supposed to do? Are you saying all of our food right now is irradiated?
I'm saying that some of it is, some of it's not, but that's not going to happen for long, and that's not going to sustain for long. Whether they time travel food from 2005, which was part of our program, in 2003. Or whether whatever, it's not going to sustain, and that it's not going to happen. And I mean, you know, for long. People canned peaches before 2011, even a little bit after is fine. Stuff. I just don't live off of rice. I mean, I have peanut butter, some fruits and stuff. Even a few bananas at times. I have a radiation detector. I detect, you know, I look at all the food and stuff and mash it up. And if it's good enough, it's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go on the luck of the wind. And
right.
But people are going to understand that there's going to be a little bit more than just iPods, to where people, as far as a preventative or preventative maintenance, are going to have to start buying off of eBay radiation detectors, are going to have to take precautions, and they're going to have to interrupt their lives and not go to sushi this week, not go out to family and go to sushi for Christmas dinner. That's not happening anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I stopped eating fish probably only about 6 months ago. Which probably wasn't soon enough. We can tell if our food is, you know, we can get one of those radiation devices to test our food.
Yeah, you can buy it for under $150.
Okay.
I mean, they're readily available. I have actually posted on my site, on my Facebook page, the CO2 detector. It detects beta and gamma, and is a really good device for $150. You could buy water purification filters where they not only purify water of any radiologic material, not only just radon 222 or 226, but they also filter cesium 137, all sorts of things.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, you can buy that for $80, 150-gallon water purifier. And it'll filter out, removes 100% anything beta, basically. Radium-226, radium-226, uranium, cesium-137, strontium, plutonium, radioactive iodine, B1, radon-222. It has a really good list of what it can filter out. And, you know, and it basically, it goes to basically the same type of standards of survival on Mars. That Mars was the leftover of a war back, 9,000 years ago, and a little bit after. And actually the oxide on the rocks there is actually, petroleum products and also fungus from radiation. And,
wow.
Yeah, and that's actually, Mars is very breathable. It's 800 millibar about. It smells on Mars. It smells like women's steak nails set on fire with the aroma of unburned diesel fuel number two. Grown on with a little bit of burnt gunpowder.
So you're saying, yes, we do have the means to protect ourselves. When it comes to, am I echoing, William?
No, you're not echoing, but you have some horrible high-pitched background noise.
Shoot, I don't know what that is. Darn it.
Is that
I don't
your
know
fan
how to hear
on the computer?
No, I don't hear anything in the room that I'm in. But maybe it is.
Is it a
yes,
laptop?
I do. Yeah.
All right. Did you plug? Is your pickup away from the laptop, or is it on the cord, or is it plugged directly in?
It's plugged directly in. It's a cord. I'm on headphones.
All right. Well, it sounds all right. It's not bad. You're very clear. It's just the background noise just makes me want to talk louder.
Okay.
I'm that way.
It seems like we can't talk loud enough, because what is this bullshit about the news agencies? What am I talking about? They've been
The government wants to protect you a little bit, and they really do. They don't want people to panic some things, the way that they're releasing news is so out of order and so jumbled. It's they're trying to tell you that it's severe, but can't. And to give people an idea, reactor number one of four reactors in Fukushima, reactor one breached about 20 minutes after the earthquake. The earthquake did most of the damage to Reactor 1. Reactor 1 had a deflagration shockwave, which wasn't bad at all. A little bit of hydrogen lit up. And did some release. Number 2 was pretty much intact, but had some major releases. And Reactor 3 just was really bad, to where it threw the rod, the rods and the pellets in the uranium and even some plutonium that was for storage and for experimental stuff, which were actually both in reactor 3 and 4, it threw that out into the middle of the fields. So reactor 3 not only fully breached, but it even went beyond Chernobyl standards. I mean, reactor 3 wasn't just a confined building breach. It was the containment vessel. The containment vessel completely blew apart. There's hardly any pieces of the vessel in building 3. It's gone. It's gone to the point to where 500 tons of core have already melted through reactors 1, 2, and 3, and they did so about 3 weeks after the earthquake in Fukushima in 2011. In fact, about a year later, after 2011, about March of 2012, the cores ended up about 500 yards in the ocean, about 500 yards in front of the reactor, about a half mile down underground.
Wow.
So they melted through the ocean floor. They're about a quarter to a half kilometer in the ground under the ocean, about 500 yards in front of the reactors where they once were. So that is how bad that is. The ocean has already died. It just doesn't know.
I know. Now, was it you that was talking about, yes, you were talking about how some of the sea life is actually liquefying.
Yeah. A starfish. I mean, when they reach a certain threshold of radiation, they do what actually a weaponized version of that can be done to people with HARP, that when a certain radiation level is reached and you do a few things, you can tell the DNA to basically unravel.
Wow.
And starfish are liquefying. A 32 million and the and hold on. In Vancouver, let me pull this up. Give me a few seconds. I'm full-on retard, and I'm trying to coordinate. So I'm going to try and do this because I can't multitask.
That's okay. William, I was going to play a short excerpt from Arnie Gunderson, who's...
Yes.
I have a short little interview with him that I'd like the listeners to hear, because Arnie was born, he's from New Jersey, let's put it that way. Nuclear power expert.
He's probably one of the most top officials you could ask. He is fully on top. In fact, some of my material that I've talked to you about is actually from Arnie Gunderson.
Okay. I do hear myself echoing, but just in case I'm not. He did also serve as an expert witness in the investigation of Three Mile Island accident has provided much commentary on the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster. So we want to listen to that, but did you find your link?
Kind of. In the Vancouver Sun, about 3 weeks ago, they announced that a $32 million fishery is basically going completely bankrupt. It sent out its whole fleet to collect sardines, and it didn't catch a single fish. They found about a couple of million sardines dead floating belly up, and the whole fleet went out and didn't catch a single sardine, a single one.
Jeez.
Yeah.
God. I'm speechless. I mean, I know it's the end of the world as we know it. I don't know if it's even worth it, not to sound morose, but it is so morose. Is it even worth it to still friggin' be here?
Not really. I mean, we tell people go off world. I mean, that's what's to do. I mean, go explore. Earth is 2012 period. Earth is going to just suck ass, and what's coming by is going to cancel out the gravity generator field effect, and that's just going to compound things. I mean, it's going to be more radiation. It's going to be more more things like that. I mean, the fact that you have, you know, you have 300 tons of radiation, of radioactive material that melted through the floor in reactor one. You have 500 tons in reactor two. You have 425 tons in reactor three that got spread out everywhere, and the storage pool. You have 700 tons of material. And number three, that completely melted through the bottom. you know, in the storage pool. So, I mean, reactor 3 was literally 1,000 tons of core material. Reactor 4, which is beyond grossly disturbing, has 1,000 tons of uranium MOX fuel and plutonium experimentally stored there in the reactor pool for experiments and for converting. That's completely already melted 2 to 3 weeks ago. It's horrible. It's the worst. It's the worst of worst.
And nobody knows about, I won't say no one in this country, but it's like we're like, oh, you know, just like everything else. I mean, people turn a blind eye. They don't want to know. They don't want to know that they're dying as they're walking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
William, tell us why we should believe what you're telling us right now.
Well, they shouldn't. If they don't believe it, just stay put and do what you're doing, and Darwin will sort you out.
Right.
Sorry, but I'm kind of done. I am so grossly sick and tired of trying to warn people. You know, I mean, really, 7 years of it. Seven years. Just on, you know, people, you know, just including into my daily life to remind people, hey, go buy a couple sacks of rice. I'll make up a story that you cheated on your girlfriend if you don't go buy a couple sacks of rice and store it.
Right.
Literally to that extent. For, you know, for the people that I love, that's what I did for a few people. You know, I would throw the biggest tantrum. I would stand naked in front of their car if I had to. And all they had to do was just go buy some rice, and I would just go F off someplace and not be a problem. And, if people don't want to believe it, that's fine. That's fine. You start seeing things like banker bailouts and the limit of freedom, First Amendments and Fifth Amendment and Second Amendment violations, and some fictitious asshole that resides in the White House wants to go for a third term when it's illegal to, when the guy doesn't even have a presented birth certificate. Now, I'll say he was born in Iowa. I don't care. You know, prove to me that his father wasn't a subject under British rule in 1961, conflict of interest, and then maybe we have some talks.
Yeah, but William, you know as well as I do that we are a silenced nation, because when we try to speak out about anything, we are considered unpatriotic and terrorist.
No, believe me, people, you speak out. I view you not only as patriotic, but I reserved a couple round vehicles for you to come pick you up. That's what's being viewed. Here's that Vancouver Sun. This was about a month ago. Sorry. Sudden disappearance of sardines has serious economic and ecological effects on BC coast. And let's see, going a little retarded here, Ian. A $32 million commercial fishery has inexplicably and completely collapsed this year on the BC coast. The sardine sea fleet has gone home after failing to catch a single fish. A single sardine. And they're just, they're gone. I mean, the life in the sea is dead. All, you know, the oxygen, it's the Mars program, is part of the program to where Earth is going to be very much like Mars. When the ocean dies off, a majority of the oxygen will be reduced to about 16%, and that's what people are going to have to live in, 16 to 17%.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is much worse than I even could imagine. Can we listen to Arnie talking about this?
Please. Yes. Anything
okay.
Arnie can do, Arnie.
So here's Arnie Gunderson, you guys. He's a nuclear expert and has been doing this for about 30 years. And he's also been a fantastic whistleblower where this is concerned. So let's listen to him.
Arnie Gunderson, welcome to Paradigms.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Last week, Dr. Helen Caldicott was on the show, and we talked a lot about Fukushima and about what could be done, and your name came up. She said the guy to talk to is Arne Gundersen. He's the only one who has any idea of what might work. So what can happen at Fukushima that might stave off the ultimate disaster?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing that needs to happen is we got to get rid of Tokyo Electric from running the show there. You know, they've had a series of calamities, and you know, when you get a series of small calamities, that usually implies there's a larger calamity on the horizon. So I think the first key is to get rid of Tokyo Electric and put somebody in there who knows what they're doing. They're not an engineering company. They're an operating company. And I don't really know how well they operate it. They did have three meltdowns. But they were chartered to run nuclear power plants, not to build or dismantle nuclear power plants. So they're out of the league. So problem number one is to get rid of Tokyo Electric. There's two other pieces related to that, though. They really form a three-legged stool, and without the three pieces, I don't think it will work. The second piece is there are about half a dozen worldwide firms that could do this. The one in America is Bechtel, but there's C2MH Hill is another one. And there's a couple of other ones around the world who could do this. After Three Mile Island, the utility that owned the plant gave up the project to Bechtel. So, you know, there's a precedent for being over your head and walking away. So the second leg of the stool then is to get the Japanese government to admit that they're on the hook for $500 billion. And that's really at the bottom of this problem. It's that the Japanese have not funded this project correctly. They're insisting that Tokyo Electric pay for it, but Tokyo Electric's only worth $100 billion, and this is a $500 billion problem. So I hate to be callous and say that the root cause here is money, but without it, they're not going to be able to solve the problem. So, but to see the problem there, the money issue then, is really that the Japanese have to realize that they're on the hook for $500 billion. And the Abe government doesn't want that to happen. They don't want the Japanese to know that it's going to come out of everybody's hide and not just out of Tokyo Electric. Because they want to get 50 nuclear plants up and running, and the last thing they need is a Japanese populace that's very angry at them. So that would likely anger the Japanese populace enormously and question whether or not they want to take the risk again with the 40 or 50 nukes that the Abe administration's willing to put up there. So that's the second leg. So first leg is replace Tokyo Electric. The second leg is make sure they're getting enough money and the Japanese government stands up and admits to their own people. But the third piece is that there needs to be public oversight. You know, you hear a lot about transparency, but the Japanese have a history on this project of hiding the truth. You know, we're seeing scientist after scientist here at Fairwinds is writing to us saying that they've got good science and they're being ostracized in Japan and being forbidden for publishing scientific reports that show radiation health damage to Japanese people. So basically the government is sitting on the scientific community and preventing good science from being done. Same with the doctors. The doctors have contacted us as well, and they say that they've been told not to tell their patients that their illness is radiation induced. So, you know, these guys have an oath as a doctor to be honest with their patients, and yet they're basically ignoring their own oath and helping perpetuate a cover-up in the Japanese government. So the only way around that is a citizen advisory committee with people not involved in the nuclear cleanup so that they could shine a light on the Japanese government and on the contractor if they try to perpetuate the cover-up. Now, so those three things are not technical. There's a lot of technical issues that they face, and I think that might have been what Helen was talking about. But unless we get those three things solved, no matter who's running the show there, we're going to continue to have the one fiasco after another.
From where I sit, what you just described is madness, essentially.
Yeah, from where I sit, it's madness, too. You know, that's the problem, in Japan right now is that nobody is willing to admit that the path they have chosen to take for the last 2.5 years is crazy. And it's really been politically motivated. Now, Tokyo Electric is very well connected within the Diet, which is their Congress. Yeah, they have 10 utilities that are the biggest force in the political infrastructure in Japan are these 10 utilities. And the top dog in those 10 is Tokyo Electric. They have the biggest clout. And the money they spend on marketing and the money they spend on lobbying are incredible. So they basically own the legislature. And I think a quid pro quo has been agreed upon here where the Japanese government says, we'll blame you, Tokyo Electric. And Tokyo Electric says, okay, we'll take the blame and we'll try to fund this out of our own money to allow the Abe administration to start up all the other nukes in the country. So I think that's behind the scenes there's been that has been made. And the net effect is we're going to have contamination of the Pacific Ocean for years to come, then the potential for an even greater catastrophe as they start to decommission these plants.
The stakes are incredibly high. I mean, I'm listening to you, and I've been following this story closely as one can, given what the media does and does not offer. The stakes are so high that, to me, the idea that politics or money, which all of which I put under the heading of ego, that would be running the show is so immoral to me.
I have to agree with you that the stakes are incredibly high, and I try not to make moral judgments, but the stakes are incredibly high. I think what's happened, though, is that the parties there, Tokyo Electric and the government, are downplaying the risk. So if you downplay the risk, then the stakes are not as high. But
nice.
To outsiders like me, and there's hundreds of scientists who feel this way, 18 of us wrote to Ban Ki-moon already from Chernobyl and from the Ukraine and et cetera, explaining this path. And the letter to Ban Ki-moon is on the Fairwinds website, by the way. But there are hundreds of scientists who feel that the risks are extraordinarily high and that unless things change in Japan, we're going to face this for 10 years. You know, the interesting thing there is that this is not a something if you're anti-nuke you want and if you're pro-nuke you don't want. This should unify people who are pro-nuke and anti-nuke. This is in everybody's best interest to get control of what's going on at Fukushima Daiichi. And to my mind, the nuclear community in the world has not stepped up and stepped into this problem, largely because the Japanese have not asked. And now just this week, the Abe administration claims to have asked the international community for help. You know, but we get, I have three different companies who've contacted Fairwind saying, you got to help us. We have world-class technology here. We've been to Japan. We want to give it to the Japanese, and they're refusing to take it. So, you know, to hear Abe saying now that, oh, we're open to all sorts of good ideas, I'm sorry, but the record indicates that they're not open to good ideas and that they have had a long history, the last 2.5 years, of ignoring American companies that come over with good ideas.
So what can people do? What can the average person anywhere in the world who's listening to this, who says, I want to do something, what can people do to encourage the Japanese government or I don't know what?
Well, there's a couple things. The people on the West Coast should definitely be contacting their representatives and congressmen and demanding that American fish and aquatic products that are caught in the Pacific be monitored and that the data be shared. You know, we keep hearing that the FDA has monitored fish and they're below safe limits. Well, frankly, I would like to see the numbers. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And the FDA is not providing numbers. You know, so we could see if the trends are up or down or flat. And, you know, I'd like to know just how much radiation is in that tuna or in that salmon that I'm eating before I eat it. To hear from my federal government that, yeah, there's radiation in there, but it's below an acceptable limit is unacceptable to me. I want to know what that number is. And if the numbers are out there, we the people of America, deserve to know what that number is. And right now we're being treated like children from the FDA and those agencies that are monitoring sea fish. So I would hope that everybody would contact their congressman and say, we want to know the numbers, and we want you to test an adequate number of fish. Back in 2011, they only tested 200 fish out of the billions of fish that came into the country, and they determined based on those 200 that everything's fine. Well, that's a pretty insignificant sample. And scientists did catch 17 bluefin tuna 5 months after the accident right off of San Diego. And they did have cesium in them. So, and we know it was from Fukushima because there were two isotopes of cesium, cesium-134 and cesium-137. So to get back to your question about what can people do, the first thing Americans can do is that we get adequate testing of whatever's coming out of the Pacific. There's a couple of petitions online now. MUVON's got one that's pretty good. Frankly, I think the petition that the 17 of us signed and gave to Ban Ki-moon is more comprehensive. The MUVON petition basically says that you got to get rid of Tokyo Electric. And like I explained at the beginning of this hour here, that's not enough, but it's a good first step. So 145,000 people have signed that petition already, and as I understand, in November, it's going to be given to the UN. So we have to let our congressmen know that we've got concerns and then sign petitions to shake both Congress and the international community. There's more than enough petitions online. I've seen a couple. And like I said, the scientific community signed this letter to Ban Ki-moon. So we just need to reinforce among the American legislatures and the UN that this is a problem that has global implications unless somebody gets off their butt and really attempts to solve it as opposed to ignore it.
I signed that petition. I've signed a few of them. And I think that is obviously one way we have of demonstrating, our people power. Doesn't feel like it's enough.
I've been working with some Japanese diplomats, and they say that the only people that the Japanese listen to are the Americans. And so if we want to change policy at Fukushima, we need to put legislative pressure on the Japanese through our Congress. I don't think our State Department is putting enough pressure on. We have John Kerry now, but before that we had Hillary Clinton. And 1 month after the accident, Hillary Clinton signed an agreement saying that we would look the other way and continue to buy Japanese agricultural products. The deal was cut between our government and theirs back in April of 2011 when the accident was still ongoing. We need to change that, and we're not going to get it from the Obama administration per se. All of the Obama administration's early money, when Obama ran for president back in 2008, the early money, the money that came in 06 and 07, was from Exelon, and Exelon is a huge nuclear corporation. So I think the administration is being pushed by pro-nuclear interests. But Congress works for us. So, the only thing I can see for us to do is to continue to push Congress to push the Japanese government. There's a couple senators, though, that are particularly important here. One is Wyden, W-I-D-E-N, I think. He's from Oregon, and he's the only senator who's actually gone to Japan and toured Fukushima. And, of course, Oregon's on the Pacific coast, so he's particularly attuned to the Fukushima issue. He's a West Coast senator. Barbara Boxer would be another one. So I'm in Vermont, Bernie Sanders and Leahy are our senators. You can write to other people's senators, and if there's a critical mass of people that are interested, whether or not they're from their district, they'll begin to take notice. And I think that's really the only thing we've got going for us as citizens now. Fairwinds is doing a lot on the Internet, and we just did a podcast a couple of days ago with another station like yours, and they had 500,000 visits in 5 days. So clearly there's people out there that are interested, and that kind of viral momentum is noticed by policymakers. So we're hoping to push the ball down the field at Fairwinds, but as far as what can an individual do, pass this along to other people. This podcast here that you're putting together, pass it on. Let's get people upset enough to write to Congress, and Congress does pay attention to that. You can sign a petition or just write your own letter. And again, I would target Wyden and Barbara Boxer as the two that I think have the most impact. Both of them are West Coast senators.
Well, I am urging everyone listening this to do exactly that. Congress needs to hear from you, your representatives, your senators, no matter what state you live in. And for people not in the United States, what would you suggest?
I don't know that people not in the United States have much influence on the Japanese diet, on their Congress. You know, all the diplomats I talk to say that it's the Americans that the diet listens to. But there is the UN, and if the American Congress gets interested and Ban Ki-moon steps up to the plate, we stand a chance. You know, we always hear that the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, is the nuclear watchdog. Now, you'll hear it every time they're quoted in the press. They're a UN agency. But Article 2 of their charter is to promote nuclear power. You know, I don't know what Article 1 is. It's some general thing. But the second thing they do is promote nuclear power. Well, we as citizens of the world can't trust somebody who's job is to promote nuclear power to regulate it. So I think that forcing the UN to look outside of its own structure, to insist that the IAEA basically do what we did in America 30 years ago and separate itself from promoting nuclear power and actually become a decent regulator, that's very difficult to do. But I think the UN right now is listening to the IAEA, which is run by a Japanese person, by the way, which is another concern here. The IAEA has an appointee who's their chairman, and for the last 5 years he's been Japanese. So I don't know how much we can count on IAEA to move the ball down the field, given their charter and given the fact that they have a Japanese who used to work closely with their own industry running the place. It's kind of a gloomy picture if you look at it. What can we do? And the only thing we can all do collectively is holler. If enough people holler, the politicians will listen.
Well, we're going to keep hollering. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time and the work you're doing.
All right. Well, thank you. And have everybody tune in to Fairwinds. We'll try to keep people informed.
And that was Arne Gunderson talking about the Fukushima incident, tragedy, I should say. William, what did you think? Was there anything to add to that, what he was saying?
Yeah, damn straight. Right up front, very truthful, very factual. Everything just exactly what it is. He didn't hold back, and he could have said a few extra things, but he was a little reserved. I would have liked it if he just would have simply said that it was just horrible. Agency, basically the whole thing is back in the late 90s through 21st century, there's been no upkeep on the reactors, really, or any regulation on it whatsoever, because there was no need to. The agency was looking to pop a few reactors, and the whole idea was to make them as unsafe as possible.
Right.
Halliburton originally went in there and helped build the Fukushima reactors. General Electric took over. And if you remember, back in the early 80s, quite a few scientists and engineers had stormed off the project because they couldn't believe what General Electric was doing, making it so unsafe.
No, I didn't. I don't remember that. That's interesting.
Oh, well, you can research that. That was a TT Intel job. Let me read an article just came out. Radioactive rain closes 130 schools in Korea. Highly radioactive rain in California, December 2013. And he has two Geiger counters, and they're both reading about 60 counts per minute on the counter, to where it's bad. It's approaching concern levels. And here's what happened with the schools in Korea. One of the readings, and I think this translates to California, but he got a beta emission. He says in the video that he doesn't know what it was, and I think I know what it was. I think it was Krypton 85. And it wasn't gamma, because he put a thick hook between that detector, and it didn't, it blocked it out. It did block it out. But they were getting 291 rodigen per hour, rodigen. And they were, a normal background is about 9 to 37 picor rodigen per hour. And they're getting quite a bit more than what anything normal would be. And but here's what Japan did recently in the last 3 months. The original pre-Fukushima background radiation tolerances was a maximum of 1 millisievert exposure per year. The way that Japan solved that 3 months ago was raising the tolerances up to 20 millisieverts per year.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's
and
how...
That's been done in America, too, hasn't it?
Oh, it's being done and done and everything, yeah. It's all the detectors have really gone offline. They keep a few up for people. If you notice, there's been a few radiation warnings in the East Coast even. They're at RadCon 5 right now in certain areas.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, William, because I read some months ago about women in California, and I know you're on the West Coast. Maybe you know more about this. That there was a high incidence of women losing their babies, having miscarriages.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Yeah, it's a Monsanto radiation combination, but yeah, that is true.
Yeah, because when I was trying to tell other people about this, they really said, well, if this is happening, I mean, like, I heard it was 80% more than it used to be.
Yeah, this is why I was posting in 2005 and 2006 and stuff that babies wouldn't be born later after 2012. And that there was other stuff that I was, information that I was getting that people were dying off. And, you know, the radiation from Japan was here 3 days after the reactors went up, if not sooner. So, I mean, it's the levels are just going to rise. Everything bioaccumulates with radiation in the body. It accumulates,
yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Even though you, say, have 10 becquerels of rice, you know, would be somewhat pretty much safe. After about half a year, that won't be safe. In fact, it'll be just worse and worse and progressively worse to where, you know, things start happening and where people start incurring huge health effects. In fact, the rice that's released out of Fukushima, they increased the tolerances from 10 becquerels to 100 becquerels.
Wow.
To where Japan doesn't even sell it to their own people. Everyone refuses to eat it. And the farmers are not allowed to sell it to anyone in Japan. They export.
Jeez.
Yeah. And that's exporting to you and me and everyone else.
Right.
And this is why...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is just one of the preemptive reasons why I was going off in 2009, 2010, and emailing people and posting for people to buy rice, vitamins, silver, silver rods, pure 0.9999 silver, coconut oil, buy a lot of walnuts and stuff, flour, sugar, buy a lot of sugar, and just sit and store. And
right.
And even Andrew Bishago was telling me that it sounded kind of odd. And I told him, well, that's fine. You can think it's odd all you want. You know why I'm doing it. And he goes, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. And, and a week later, after Fukushima went up, he gave me a call and said, you know, he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's really unfathomable. But this is what we're faced with. Now, if a person, say I lived in Los Angeles and I've been eating fish and I've been eating everything that probably has tons of radiation in it, what am I going to notice in my body happening?
You'll probably have serious, and about from this point forward in about a year and a half, you'll probably have severe, serious medical issues. Deformities, if you give birth, deformities, even to the point to where your thyroid will die, and you, next thing you know, your doctor will be prescribing you either organic bovine or a Synthroid supplement, or you'll just start having serious health issues, whether kidney or whatever, intestinal issues. You'll start, if all the follicles in your ovaries don't shut down or collapse or die off, might not be able to reprocreate at all.
Right, which isn't a bad thing, but...
That's never a bad thing.
But the point is, okay, so if I was, if I did, like, ingest all this radiation and my body starts shutting down, can I fight back? Can I get rid of the radiation in my body?
Yeah. The you look at the half-life of most material, you term it as 10 days half-life. In the body, the body does circulate it out. Vitamin C is great for circulating out radiation, which is why I was plugging vitamins and vitamin C. Vitamin C does really great. Getting the body out of an oxidant state is first and foremost. When you start cleaning up the body will circulate and built up salts, radiation. Basically, the only way we get rid of trace minerals in our body, excreting them anyways, is through sweat. We don't pee them out. We don't defecate them out. So exercising when sick and stuff also accelerates getting better quickly.
Okay.
Sweating out and resupplementing with non-radioactive things, vitamins. Go buy. I recommend people go buy fish oil if you still can. Buy the gelatin flaxseed oil. Go buy omegas. Go buy fish oil and gel capsules. Take a sample. If you bought a radiation detector off of eBay, you can check it. Learn how to use it. It comes with a manual. Or the PDF. How to work it, how to read it, and you can, there's lots of things that you can stock up on still, and it's still not too late. And there's a lot of things on the shelf that are still safe.
Right.
But that's what's going to be needed. That is what's needed. Self-sustaining.
Yeah.
Count on 5-6 years of having to do this.
So if we were to treat the ocean for radiation, I mean, I don't see how it's possible, quite frankly, because once it gets into the water, water goes everywhere.
And it's a mess.
It's a mess,
it translates through the world in a few days. Fukushima water was over here within a day and a half.
Right. Yeah, and I don't see, okay, so I'm on the East Coast. And they say East Coast is better. But to me, don't the oceans, there was actually radiation detected in milk in Vermont recently. And so is it in the air, too?
Yeah. They're doing some dumping out of Pilgrim reactor out of Plymouth, Massachusetts right now, I think about 30 miles from you.
Wow.
And they actually just did a major jump a year ago. They are actually increasing the dump a little bit on the next snowstorm that you're having. So it's going to get a little bit worse. That's for some of the plans that are implemented. Where it's going to be safe in the world, it's going to be safe in the southern hemisphere. Remember, you're on Earth. You're on a gravity generator receiver. You're on a motor. The gravity wave, being that a gravity generator is at the center of our Earth, and the aspects of hollow Earth are not only not ridiculous, but is factual. The Earth is hollow. Gravity extends towards the electron shell. You look at the crust of the Earth as the electrons. The gravity wave waveguides through that medium.
And, okay.
All right. Yeah. So I mean, the southern hemisphere will have better chances from radiation. Basically the radiation isn't going to really translate down there.
Where's that, William? I'm stupid when it comes to geography.
Below the equator, south of the equator.
Which is what's over there?
Australia. It's basically why CIA consigned out to Australia, because, you know, international, and the government said that you couldn't be doing what you were doing in the United States. So CIA consigned out in the mid-80s out to Australia. And you know, worked out of Australia, and it was also because the radiation won't be anything as bad as it will be in the northern hemisphere.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah, try to move to Australia. Good luck, you know?
Yeah. It's getting crazier and crazier over there.
Yeah. I've been hearing that. They're starting
to make me look normal.
Yeah.
This is getting bad.
That's bad, is right. I don't even know you that well, William, except I know you've got some notorious claims going on here. But
well, I mean, there's more evidence than people know. You know, I haven't shown my hand completely, and believe me, my hand has everybody that tries to disinfo it to ends up shutting up completely and just walking away and praying.
Right.
Because I mean, we, you know, I have some really beyond credible evidence that is really just, you know, people wish they didn't say anything in the first place, disinfo, or even bring up possible shill attacks, which is pretty funny. I mean, I still giggle over stuff at times. And but then it gets depressing again because of what Fukushima is and what's going on with that.
No kidding. You hate being right, you know?
It's scary. It's one of the reasons why time traveled forward and did a forward look at why a lot of people go off planet and why people's lives are disrupted.
Oh, wow. And, all right. Wait, back up a minute. So you did go, and you went into the future, did you?
Yeah, I forwarded 4 years from 2007 to 2011.
Oh, okay. Well, what about now? Can you forward yourself now?
No, don't ask. I'm pretty minimal. I have a PayPal. If people want to get me back up into functioning and being able to have more of a mobility, I have a PayPal for that. Otherwise, I'm pretty deficient.
Why don't you put that in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm pretty deficient.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
I mean, I'm pretty deficient in what I can do right now. I'm pretty minimized and just pretty much at the mercy of like anyone else. And it's kind of how I prefer it, because, you know, the only thing we can do is just keep people from suffering or minimize it, and that's about it.
Right.
There's not much more we can do than that, honestly.
Well, when we're going to take a short, like, 3-minute break here. This I actually want to play a song for my friend Yvette, who's listening right now. And also for you, William, this is for you. And when you when we come back, can you tell us a little bit about your time travel?
Sure. I'd love to.
Okay. You guys, back in three. Show must go on, and that was originally a Three Dog Night song, I believe. I believe they wrote it. Do you like that song, William? Are you there? William, are you there? Oh, he's not answering. Okay. Anyways, like I said, that was Leo Sayre. So, and William.
Yes.
I thought you were time traveling for a second. So tell us about your time. How did you time travel? What did you do?
Well, I forwarded. Well, back in the day, for teleporting, basically teleporters are gravity. All teleporters inherently have a gravity generator in them, and have to by law. All matter, all atoms, all matter is a wave. All atoms are an over-unity device, gravity generator motor. Everything is a wave. The table in front of you, your car, everything. When you teleport, you're just converted more into a wave. And time travel is the same thing. You go forward, you teleport or time travel forward, and you get to your destination. I mean, we're doing a non-local event as far as the Fukushima. I pretty much stayed in the same town where I was. There are some aspects to it which are a little bit more technologically advanced and more fun or better. And, teleport forward and you research when you get there.
Okay, so were you like in a physical body when you teleported?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mind, body, and spirit. Very real device, very real event, very real thing. There's there is astral projection. There are other things like that. This was actually something that was arranged, you might say. I'm not going to go too. I've gone into more detail, but if I have to explain on here, it would take up too much time, and it's best that people just go read what or listen to the other interviews that I've done before.
Okay. So
too involved.
Can I just ask you now, you encountered people that you could, correlate seeing in the future. Like, I mean, did you talk to someone when you teleported that you also talked to when you came back to this time period?
Well, actually, yes, and there's just a few people I talk to. When you do jumps like that, we all tend to just, we stay kind of inert. We don't really interact with people. We're not there for that, and we try to avoid that. Occasionally, you might have to do some things or whatever, but, you just kind of play it by ear. But there's some interaction. But basically what I did is I TT'd forward. Are you there? Uh-oh.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Time traveled forward, and I stayed local or geographically same spot. And I went to a coffee shop that I frequented a lot. And I read the paper, which talked about nuclear reactors blowing up. And I looked at the date, and it was 2011. And basically did that much of the research, looked around a little bit, and then left and went back. And when I went back, I subsequently wrote about what I saw and what I witnessed.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
A lot of people ask if I went to Japan and saw the reactors blow up, and as I've always said, no, I never went to Japan. I didn't time travel or teleport to Japan that day. I stayed local, and I read about it in the paper, and I wrote about what I read in the timeline was still active, and researched that and wrote about it, and that was it.
So it's like that TV show Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Quantum Leap was actually pretty accurate as far as when going back into the past, you have to do it via plasma confinement if you're using technology from, Gray's have it to where you can physically do it, like going forward. But when going past, you basically, it's primarily done for safety's sake. And when using the lower types of technology, it's inherently just safer that way, to where you can't help but do it that way, because you know, people shouldn't be dicking up the past at all.
Right.
And there was a huge preservation of the past concern and inherent in all people that we've always worked with.
Okay, of course, but, when you refer to the grays, you're talking about aliens. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so what do they think about what's going on right now?
People are dicked up. Society's dicked up, but look, people are looking a little bit better, but got to stop using nuclear power.
Right,
so much,
right.
So much better, so much easier, better things. I mean, using bismuth. I mean, using tantalum and tungsten. Using hydrogen. You know, getting a gravity from hydrogen. You can do Luke Skywalker's land speeder with a microwave and some water and some copper. You do it right. I mean, really.
So they're saying you're screwed up, man, right?
People out there are screwed up. I'm not really screwed up. I'm just abused.
No, not you. I mean,
I know, in general. I know.
But now that we're on the subject of you, no.
People out there are screwed up. And, you know, they got some things right. There's a lot of good potential. But if they're going to listen to people like Satoru or whatever, then it's a mess. Mm-hmm. They're doomed. People have basically killed themselves off when they voted for Satoru in 2012.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the guy, quite frankly, you know?
Well, nobody is, because, you know, he's in the White House. You know, you know him as Barack H. Abomination.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, aside from being a very abrasive asshole, you know, it's, I mean, did you vote for him?
Well, you know what? Yes, the
No, yeah, don't say. Yeah, anybody that voted for him a second time after banker bailouts does not get my condolences. I mean, really. I was warning people about people not to, I was telling people not to vote for him in 2007, that people were mentally drugged up and just goddamn out of control. I said, you do not want that guy in office. You know, he'll go completely treasonous and he'll kill the country. And he will do it very obviously and very publicly. I said, people are doomed if they vote for him. And people were just so mentally drugged up and emotionally drugged up, it was just, you know, I give up.
I know, but the thing was, William, that, you know, we shouldn't even get into politics here, because I have much to say about the, you know, I mean, I know both parties are basically the same right now, so I can't even really argue that point.
Well, it doesn't matter. You just don't vote for him. I think Ron Paul is running. Who cares? And John McCain, I mean, John McCain would have a wooden owl statue and a gerbil drop out of his ass, but at least it would be a slower death.
Well, you know, am I wrong in liking Ron Paul?
No. I mean, they might have eventually talked him into to screwing up, but it would have been a fight, and definitely the treasonous crap that's transpiring now wouldn't have occurred with Ron Paul at all.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it might have been worse, but it wouldn't be that.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
you'd
have lizards running around trying to eat people in abductions and mass, suggested abductions.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm fine. I'm sorry.
When I interviewed, are you familiar with Preston Nichols?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I went to Preston's house. I met him, and we did a show. And what do you think of him and his work?
I like him.
Okay.
I like Preston Nichols. I'm typing in right now to look up from what I can remember.
He said he worked on the Montauk project, claimed to have worked on the Montauk project, and worked alongside aliens. He said the grays smelled bad. They would be sprayed with Lysol, and through the Lysol they would get wasted. And
would be a reptilian. The grays wouldn't allow Lysol in the body. Grays absorb too much. But
he said it was grays that smelled really bad, and they sprayed them with Lysol. And then he said that the reptilian, the about 8 feet reptilian that he worked alongside, once drank the Drano, and then
that's actually very true.
Yeah, and the reptilian wanted more and more Drano to get wasted.
Yeah, that's typical. That's typical.
Well, how do we know that that's typical? I mean, I'm asking you your experience.
That is my experience. That is typical. They have a very alkaline stomach and very much like a lizard, and that's actually what they do. They would actually enjoy sodium hydroxide. And that's actually very true. Reptilians are just like that, very much oriented like that, basically drug addicts. they really are.
But just by using deodorant, we are two drug addicts.
Well, grays do smell bad. In fact, one of the things I used to do that I've talked about on the radio shows before is growing up with Sam or a gray in my life that I really really love a lot is I used to take a bath. My father would have me take a bath, not use soap, get in the bathtub. I wouldn't bathe for like 3 or 4 days or until my sister kicked the crap out of me. And my dad would have me put my bacteria in the water, then I'd get out and Sam would get in and absorb the nutrient. And we'd have fun. We'd have fun with the ecosystem like that. That was congenial. And yes, grays do smell. And back in the 80s, grays started blocking out the smell to where we couldn't smell it for congeniality. But when grays don't have to, they won't. And grays can smell very bad. They also excrete a toxin or poison.
Huh. Okay. So obviously you're very familiar with aliens. And how many types of aliens would you say there are?
I would say around 65 in our galaxy, basically.
Gee. Okay. And
there's quite a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different species. There's on Mars, there's a lot of, humanoids that look exactly like us that would be 8 inch or a foot and a half tall or 30 foot tall. The 20 foot talls, ones can have quite a bit of deformity to them. That's from the radiation and stuff and just natural, different, aspects. But, the foot and a half tall or a 3 foot tall humanoid, you wouldn't discern different from any other person in exception to the height. No joke.
Right.
And,
Now I've always been afraid to be abducted. I've always been afraid to actually come face to face with an alien. Is that a founded, should I be afraid or not?
No, not really. Maybe from a reptilian, but not really. You know, there's a silica-based life form that's very fast and very vicious. Kind of looks like a praying mantis on steroids. I'd be scared of that. That thing is just goddamn quick and it can blank you out. It can you know, it's kind of like a reptilian. It can kind of try and blank you out to where it just, it'd be on your throat before you even knew that it had moved. And besides being very quick.
Well, when I interviewed, let me just bring up one more interview because that has something to do with it tonight. Do you know who Riley Martin is?
No, I've heard the name, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, he claims to have been abducted, you know, since the age of 11, maybe six times. And he says that the reptilian was, yeah, they're badasses, right? And
they're asses.
Yeah. Sorry. So if a gray alien happens to approach me, I shouldn't be afraid?
No, not really. I mean, if you pull a weapon on, you probably should be, but, you know, you'd be basically only as stupid as your actions. Grays are beautiful, very, very peaceful, very loving.
All of them?
Pretty much. The insect, stylized, insectoid, stylized grays are really kind of heavy handed. And if dissecting your body was, more beneficial than they might. but for the most part, grays are very, very loving, very nice. And just really are. Reptilians are not. If you want to question anything, question reptilians, whether reptilians have an ethical presence.
So how true, right, reptilians, so reptilians, I'm assuming, are just not so pleasant to deal with. I mean,
general consensus would be pretty close to right.
Okay. Well, I don't really want to encounter any of them, but I know I probably will as I go on from this earth. I'm going to have you back on to talk more about your alien exposures, you know?
Well, I have a lot of good experiences. I call them, you know, just experiences. And, you know, people, I've said before and multiple times that people say that they've been abducted, you know, by grays. It's like, no, people just had a bad emotional experience. Like, yay. I mean, process it. You're obviously still alive. Did you really, really have a bad experience, or did you have a bad emotional experience to it?
Right.
And you know, I really encourage people to check with themselves and sort through it.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, it's really an individual thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, but when you hear these stories about people being impregnated or, you know, this type of thing, it's a little bit daunting.
Yeah. So, you know, people are going to experience more and more, very, you know, coming up, and already have, and you know, they have already experienced quite a bit more than they thought they ever were to. And it's just, you know, it's just what people, you know, some good things and bad things are on their horizon, and grays are actually very good and very loving and very much promoted. People's thinking and interpretation is not, and can get outright very self-obstructive and destructive.
Okay, so we have about a minute left, William. Can you tell people how to contact you? And you did put your link in the chat room about donating. But can you tell people where to find you?
Yeah, they can seek me out on Facebook, William Stillings. They can look me up do a Yahoo search or on YouTube. Just type in Stillings Mars, STILLINGS, and then Mars as in the planet. They can listen to a lot of my previous interviews, over at least over 30. have quite a bit of interviews that explain the physics, my background, being raised Navy, DOD, working industry, and, you know, where we're going or where things are going, you know, how people are trying to kill me off, blah, 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 the whole thing.
Oh, shit. That's no fun.
I've been shot at more times than you've probably done the radio shows. Honestly.
Wow. Shoot. That's terrible. Are you still hearing me?
Yeah. Dude, give me a second. Okay. Yeah, you're still here.
Okay, because I like extended it for a minute or two, or no, I'm extending it, but it sounds like it's chopping up.
Be better. There we go.
Okay. All right, so listen, you're going to come back on, I hope, if you don't get shot.
Yeah. Don't say it. Don't give them ideas. I do my daily living, and, you know, just I try not to self-destruct myself. So, I mean, just with me, I got my own hands full, you know.
Okay, so what's your message? If you could, like, say your message in a couple lines, what would it be? Do you have a message?
Yeah, go off planet. Leave Earth. Go on vacation. Vacation time away from Earth is good time away from Earth.
All right, well, we're looking forward to hearing more from you and where we should be focusing our intents, I guess, you know? But, hey, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I had a really good time talking to you.
It was a really great show. Thanks.
You're welcome. And we will welcome William back on in the future, and we'll talk more about his alien adventures and all that stuff. So,
Hey, plug Curious Times. Too.
Oh, yeah, Curious Times, man. Of course. Curious Times goes on at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And Chris always has wonderful guests. She's a fantastic host, honest, and just very eye-opening episodes that she has every single night of the week. And that's, like, phenomenal that she can keep that up and do that. And she does a great job of it. So check that out. Curious Times on Blog Talk Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern. And I guess that's 7 o'clock Pacific time. Is that correct? 7, yeah. And, she's just, like, fantastic. In fact, I'm going to be listening to her show tonight. And I think Christina Nelson.
Bye.
What's that?
I'm going to troll on by her.
Troll on
her
by?
Yeah.
You're always a troll there? Okay.
I didn't know that. No, she loves me. I just keep doing stuff until she laughs. And it's however much I can grab her attention to make her laugh, then I just kind of enjoy the show. Her shows are so great. They're really great.
They are really good. And tonight is Christina Nelson, who's a psychic medium, and she gives readings, so you guys can call in too. And listen, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging in there. And thank you, William. And we will talk very soon, I hope.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.